Let me just say before we get started, I just want to thank everyone that had a part in the music of our homecoming last week. What a tremendous job everyone did. I'm so thankful. You know, we have much talent here at Calvary, and we're very thankful for that. I especially want to thank our musicians. They always do just a tremendous job. And everything last week just went so smooth and so well. And I just praise the Lord, and I thank everyone for everyone that was involved. Yeah, if you will, just pray for us this morning. And we're going to try and sing a song that I hope is a blessing to you. Your cries have awoken the Master. Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started by the deep wind, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, "Where is your faith? Cause you held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice, child, your cries have awoken." Without any warning, the storm of your life had begun. But seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know up now, because you prayed.
the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. And this morning the Lord hears your prayers and He hears your cries. And so I trust that that will be in your agenda today, to cry unto Him. Whether times are good, we can cry unto Him. Whether times are bad, we can cry unto Him. Regardless, He sees the righteous and in the pathway that they take every day. I want to thank everyone and welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. I want to say welcome to all those on Facebook that's viewing from their homes and places of residence. So good to have you. And I guess we can just welcome fall this morning. The cool air is a blessing to me. I know many have already said, walking out this morning, in fact, Lily walking out this morning, said, "Ooh, it's cold out there." I said, "That's polar bear weather." I said, "That is my kind of weather." But fall is in the air, and the seasons are changing in our world, and we are so very thankful for that, and we are thankful for the Lord and for what He has done and what He's doing. Let me mention a couple things, and then we're going to ask Brother Kevin if he would, in just a few moments, come down and pray whenever I get through with announcements. I want to say Brother Harold Dolph had a procedure done this past week. I believe it was Thursday, his Watchman procedure, and he recovered well from that. He's at home this morning, but let's remember Brother Harold in our prayers. It was a successful surgery procedure, and we praise the Lord for His goodness touching Brother Harold. We need Brother Harold around here, don't we? And he says to me occasionally, "I just don't feel like I'm doing anything." Well, Brother Harold, if you're watching, you do a whole lot, and you have down through the years. But Brother Harold and myself, we have, and Brother Randy, we have this relationship, a bulletin relationship. Every Friday, every Saturday, I'll send it to Brother Harold and Brother Randy, and then they, of course, put it on the web page, or Brother Harold puts it on the web page, and then Brother Randy emails it. And so, Brother Harold, we appreciate you. Appreciate you, Brother Randy. I want to say happy birthday today to Miss Elna, and what a blessing. Celebrate another birthday, and happy birthday to you. Miss Connie Teague's birthday is today, and so I want to wish her a very happy birthday as well. It's also good to see Miss Carrie back with us, and where's she at? I get up here, and I can't, there she is, by Brother Dion, and her baby, baby Avery, is that right? What'd I say? Carrie, that rhymes with Terry. So good to see you and your sweet baby, and that's a blessing. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And Kevin, if you'd come around, reached out to Brother Brian and this week, and Miss Melita as well, and wanted to do some things different this morning, try to work some different folks in. And so, Brother Kevin, you come. If you want to say a word, you can. Nonetheless, just pray for us, brother.
Dear Father God, I thank You for today, Father. God, I thank You for bringing us all together in fellowship, Father. God, I've been reading with You recently, Father God, that fellowship is the strongest thing that we have, Father God. May Your love spread through all of us, Father. Father God, when we speak to You, Father God, we speak words of truth, Father. May we hear from You, God. God, may Your will be done in our life, Father God. Because right now, times of fear are true, Father. We all have fears, Father. COVID is real, Father God. We have fears of many things, Father God. But settle us, God. Give us peace, Father. God, may Your word be heard, Father God. May everything that we do glorify You, Father. May You give us peace, Father God. May You give us strength, Father God. Give us love, Father, that we may love one another as Jesus Christ loved us, Father. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask You for strength. I ask You for peace, Father God. And God, may Your word open our hearts. May we hear it in all things, Father God. I love You. I thank You, Father. And I praise You, God. I pray these things in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's everyone stand this morning and turn over to page number 139. Page 139, let's all sing At Calvary. Several weeks now, Ross Brown. He is still in ICU, still on a ventilator. They did a trach this week. He had to have a little emergency surgery done with the situation that he had going on. So while they were doing that, they went ahead and put the trach in. He is still on a ventilator and still really needs our prayers. His wife's going through a very difficult time. Have two boys at home. So please continue to pray for them. I know they'd appreciate that. And if you would just pass that along. Let's have all we can do at this point is just enlist help for prayer. Amen. God's the great healer, and He's able, and that's what we're looking forward for Him to do, is to heal Ross. So, again, I appreciate your prayers. Appreciate everyone that always comes to me and says, hey, how's your captain? I appreciate that very much, and I know his family does. So please remember them in prayer. We have a special treat for you this morning. Miss Melita is going to come around. She's going to share a song with us. You pray for her this morning.
All week I'd had a different song picked out, and I'd gone over it several times, and I just didn't really have a peace about it, and the Lord laid this song on my heart, and I'm thankful. The song is named I Can Pray, and I'm thankful that in this time, I was talking to Miss Glenda this morning, in such a time of such, I'm very fearful. I'm fearful of the state that our country is, and all the hatred that seems to be spewed everywhere. But I am thankful that church is a haven for us. I'm thankful for my family that's a haven. And although there's not many things that right now I can physically do or that any of us can do, we can all pray. We can pray for our country. We can pray for the leadership of our country, even though sometimes we may not agree with it. The best man for our country right now, I firmly believe, is currently in office, and he needs our prayers. This morning, Brian and I were talking, and I'm so very thankful, and I don't mean to take up any of your time. I'm so thankful for a mother that prayed for me, and for a daddy that prayed for me, and for a daughter that I know prays for me, and especially for my husband that prays for me. And I think of people like Miss Ridge that can't go physically touch her son, Brother Don, right now. That is her son. He's a grown man, but that's still her son. And there's something precious about a physical touch. There's something even more special about somebody that's
you, Miss Melita. We can pray. Thankful for that, aren't you? Open access plan. Usually that's referred to insurance. Open access plan. But that's also included one of the benefits of being a Christian, being born again, is the open access to the throne of God. This morning we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter number 20. Feels like we've been in the Old Testament for a month on Sunday mornings, and perhaps we have. Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 20. This morning I want to read verse number 7, 8, and 9. And I hope that the content of the message will be just what you need this morning. Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 20. Begin reading in verse number 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me in a derision daily. That word because can also be the same word for nevertheless. Because or nevertheless, the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of with forthbearing, and I could not stay. I want to stop there in verse number 9. That's Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 7, 8, and 9 this morning. Let me say by way of introduction concerning these verses and Jeremiah as a person. Before men, the prophet Jeremiah stood strong. Yet before God, he was crushed. Jeremiah was at a place in his life where he felt as though his labor, listen to this, his labor for the Lord was in vain. No results, fruitless. He surrendered his life to God's call back in chapter number 1 of this book. Yet he was mocked, made fun of because of the message he shared. Solely the message concerning the judgment of God. So we have Jeremiah here, and he's at a low spot in his life. Again, before men, he stood very strong and powerful. But when he went in that secret place, he was crushed before God. Again, he felt as though his labor had been in vain. No fruit, no results. I want to ask a question to all of us this morning. Have you ever been at a place in life where you felt as though you're laboring in vain? I mean, that place where there hasn't been any big flashy results or any visible fruit. Have you ever been there before?
I mean, the day you said yes to God's will, to his plan, and you set out to serve him. And then, not many days after that, or in the process of time, there was no fruit, no results, but it was yet filled with conflict and trial and dilemmas. I wonder this morning if anybody's ever been there before where you said, Lord, I'm signing my name on a blank piece of paper, and whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And it was a true, genuine expression of faith by you doing that. But then conflict came. Then you found yourself in dilemmas, and you found yourself in trials. Many times in the Christian life, we experience those things. We go through times where we may feel like that we're laboring in vain. Lord, there's no results. Lord, there's no fruit to what I'm doing. It's just a fruitless time. This prophet, when he stood before man, he did God's will. He preached. But then when he was all alone, he was crushed. In fact, here in these verses, we see that Jeremiah was very, very mixed in emotions. In verse number 7, he felt as though the Lord deceived him. Then we go on and we read that in verse number 9, he said, I'll no more speak about him. But something happened in verse number 9. There was something particular that took place in verse number 9 that changed Jeremiah. His circumstances were the same, but he was different. So we see that the things took a turn for the better in the life and the heart of Jeremiah, at least in his heart, in verse number 9. Yet it was at a dark moment of time. Yet the discovery was that there was a fire in his heart for the Lord, that although it was dark, and although he felt like his efforts were in vain and there were no fruit to testify that he was doing God's will, yet he discovered that the fire of God was still burning. In fact, it was during this dark time when the fire of God and the fire of God's love began to be aflame. This morning, I want to take those thoughts and take this certain circumstance that Jeremiah is in, and I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. The fire is still burning. The fire is still burning. You see, he felt like that because there was no fruit, because there were no results, that his fire was going out, or he wasn't being used of God. But in all actuality, it was a teacher, a schoolmaster that led him to experience God's fire. That it indeed was God that fueled him to do what he's doing. Indeed, he discovered that it was God and his fire and his love and his power that fueled him. But it was only during that dark moment that he discovered that. You may be here this morning. We've preached and mentioned and talked about many dark moments since the pandemic and pre-pandemic. But you may be at a place in your life this morning where there's not many results as of to what you're doing. Not much fruit is being bared. But you see, if the Lord has called you to do what you're doing, if he has led you to where you are at this morning, and you get to a place of feeling empty, get to a place of feeling fruitless, it is a good place. In fact, many times in the Bible, outside of Jeremiah, it's a place of discovery where you find out that the Lord and his fire is what keeps us going. So this morning, the fire is still burning in the life of Jeremiah. He thought he was down. He thought he was out. He said, I'm not going to mention his name. Yet, the Bible says in verse number 9, notice, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. Three things this morning I want to mention that surround this bright spot in a dark place, and I hope it'll be a help to you. Number one, notice in verse number 7, we see Jeremiah's complaint. His complaint. In verse number 7, the Bible says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. We see Jeremiah's complaint, and I want to say that, first of all, it was a circumstantial complaint. It was a circumstantial complaint. If you go back in verse number 2 and verse number 3, you'll find out that Jeremiah was in prison, or at least he was in a place of confinement for doing God's will. Just look in verse number 1 of chapter 20. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. He was just doing what God called him to do. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And so now we have Jeremiah in a place of confinement. And he was confined in stocks. Jeremiah was cuffed. He was chained and confined. All for doing and following God's leadership. I want to say this morning that Jeremiah's complaint, it was a circumstantial complaint. If you go back and read, he was reluctant in the beginning of accepting God's call. I'm a child, how can I speak? Kind of the same thing Moses said concerning his speech. But then as time went on and he preached God's word and he lived out the plan of God, he found himself in jail. He found himself in a place that was uncomfortable. Listen, church, this morning you do God's will. At times you will be in a very uncomfortable place. There are times in life where we go after God 100% of our heart going after him, and still we find ourselves in a place of struggle, in a place of trouble. Jeremiah was in prison. He was in a place of confinement. He was cuffed and chained and confined for doing God's will. There's many other types of, I ain't going to say theology, but I'll just say preaching and teaching being done on Sundays, that if you accept Jesus and you accept his salvation and you're born again, that your life will get easy and there'll be no trouble in the way. That's a false statement. It was when the Apostle Paul, when he first got saved and he told Ananias to go and pray over him because Paul's eyes, he couldn't see. God told Ananias that Paul would suffer great things in following Jesus. I want to say this morning that I'm not being a prophet of doom. I'm not being a preacher of doom, but I do want to prepare you, and I do want to confirm that whatever you're facing in life, if you are in a confined place, a place of struggle, a place where it's dark, and you have been following Jesus, keep on following the Lord, although it's dark. Because I want to say the fire will still be burning. And I want to say this morning that Jeremiah's complaint was circumstantial. Many times in life, we find ourselves in circumstances that are unpleasant, and we complain. I do want to say that Jeremiah was drafted by God in chapter 1, as I said a moment ago, that he surrendered to the call. He was drafted by God, thus he prophesied, and thus he preached, and troubles came. Now, Jeremiah feels God has deceived him now because of what he told him in chapter number 1. I want you to notice and turn to chapter number 1 for a moment. Jeremiah mentions that, and he says to the Lord in his circumstantial place of life, "Lord, you deceived me." Then he says, "And I was deceived." And I believe Jeremiah felt that way because of some things the Lord told him in the beginning that hasn't happened yet. Notice chapter number 1. And I want you to look at verse number 10. This is after the call came to Jeremiah. Verse number 6, he says, "I'm a child. How can I speak?" And the Lord began to minister to him positivity and confirming his call and the Lord's ability in using Jeremiah. All he has to do is surrender. But in verse number 10, notice this. The Lord says, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations." Number one, the Lord has told Jeremiah that I have set you in a high place. I have set you over the nations. And then the scripture goes on and says in verse 10, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms." Look at this. "To root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." I believe Jeremiah was so focused, or at least it was on his mind, about this lofty position. I mean, he's in a dark place, and it's a very circumstantial place and not so good place, Jeremiah chapter number 20, and surely it's fresh on his mind, thinking about the day he said yes to his call, where the Lord said, "I have this day set thee over the nations." You see, I believe that Jeremiah feels as though the Lord deceived him because he wasn't this great leader in charge as he would perceive one to be. Jeremiah would perceive one to be, as in verse number 10, over the nations, ruling and reigning, no problems, in charge, calling the shots. But if you look in this verse, there's some things that take place that really explain what Jeremiah's going through. And so the Lord set him over the nations, and notice this, and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. You see, part of Jeremiah's call in the very beginning had to do with destruction. And so Jeremiah was preaching, the judgment of God is coming. And because of that, he was locked fast in stocks and in prison. Could it be this has everything to do with the first part of his calling to root out? Could it be it has everything to do with the first part of his calling to pull down? Listen, church, child of God, when we set out to serve the Lord, there are some things that have to be rooted out from our lives and pulled down from our lives that the Lord gets us busy doing. That's what Jeremiah was doing. He was prophesying and he was preaching not only to the outcast but to God's people. And he was fulfilling his role. But in Jeremiah chapter number 20, in verse number 7, he says, "Lord, it's dark. I'm in chains. I can't see. You have deceived me." But I want to say this. The Lord did not deceive Jeremiah. He was going through a phase where he was rooting out some things. He was going through a phase in his life where God was using him to prophesy and to preach, to pull down some things. There were some idols that had to go. There was a great sin problem that had to be dealt with. And because Jeremiah said yes to the call of God, listen, he was persecuted for that. And he was locked in stocks and he was in the prison. But now there is this circumstantial complaint. And I feel like Jeremiah must have felt, well, hold on, Lord. You said that I'm going to be this prophet. Lord, you told me that I'm going to be over the nations and the kingdoms. Let me say this morning. With position comes problems. It doesn't matter if it's a church job. It doesn't matter if it's a secular job. It don't matter if it's a personal life for Jesus you're trying to live. With your position in Jesus, with you on your job, wherever that may be, with position comes problems. God has all of us, I feel, especially at this time in our world, we're going through a rooting out season. We're going through a pulling down era. And it's dark, no doubt. And things are scary, no doubt. But I want to say, church, God has not deceived none of us this morning. He has called us, and He is faithful, and He will lead us safely till we get to heaven. But while we're here, and while it's dark, the Lord wants us to get rid of some things out of our life. He wants us to pull down some things in our life. And could it be the Lord is using this pandemic for us to do that? It is a fire of purging. Jeremiah. Lord, you've deceived me. You called me to be a king. Or at least you have called me to be overseer of the nations. Why am I chained up? The Bible says by the church. I'm supposed to be in the church preaching. Chained up outside the church. And so I believe the first half of Jeremiah's ministry, or at least some part of it, had to do with destruction. And he's pondering all of these things while he's locked up. He goes on in chapter number 20, and he talks about his birth, when he was born to this world. And in essence, he says, Lord, why did I have to be born if I was going to end up in this situation? It kind of sounds like Job, doesn't it? Lord, why was I conceived when my life has led me to this place? I said yes to Jesus, and now my own people are laughing. I'm in derision daily. I'm being mocked and made fun of for doing your will. The first half of his ministry, at least in part, had to do with destruction. He says in verse 10 of chapter 1, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. But you see, there's the other side of his calling as well that was wrapped up in this time when the Lord called him. Not only destruction, but construction. There will be a time where he would build. Notice it says to build and to plant. Jeremiah is just like us. We're just like him. We are building and battling. Nehemiah had the men on the wall, had a weapon in one hand, and had the hammer in the other hand, fighting the enemy and bringing in the work. That is our challenge this morning, to battle and build at the same time. Jeremiah is over there, locked up for the word of God and his testimony. Just like John on the isle called Patmos. And you know what happened to John? He received the revelations of the Lord. We know the end of the Bible because he was on Patmos in his solitary place. And here we have Jeremiah. He is in confinement. He is cuffed, confined, and chained. Yet he is going through exactly what God said he will go through. Listen, church, there will be times in your life, and seasons in your life where you feel like it's just work. It's just rooting out and tearing down. It may seem like, and there will be times where it feels like there's no fruit, that you've been laboring in vain. But listen, don't think that. If you believe with all your heart that you are where God wants you to be, there will be a season of work, but there will also be a season of rejoicing. Amen. There will be a time where the work will move forward. It won't just be pain. It won't just be tears. It won't just be agony and wondering if God has left you. We know He has not. But there also, listen, the page will turn. There's going to be some good days. I'm believing that. If no good days here, there's going to be some really good days there when we get to heaven and we leave this old place behind. But while we're here, church, we are not suffering in vain. The Lord is going through a time of rooting things out, pulling things down. But at the same time, He is building things up and He is planting things. We are building and battling this morning. So Jeremiah, he's down there in that low place. And he says, Lord, you've deceived me, and I've been deceived. Let me say that not only in verse number 10 of chapter 1, we see that Jeremiah could be reflecting back on this time when he was called. You're going to be, as the Bible says, set thee over the nations. But look in verse number 18. Not only Jeremiah feels he was deceived because of the call in chapter number 1, verse 10, in part, but Jeremiah felt that God deceived him because of verse number 18. Here's what he says in verse number 18. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar. God said, Jeremiah, you're my iron man. He's a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And so we see here Jeremiah, he's in confinement in chapter number 20. He's being persecuted in chapter number 20. He's arrested in chapter number 20. But in chapter number 1, the Lord says, I have made thee a defense city. You're an iron man, Jeremiah. Brazen walls. But he is in such a dire place, he feels defenseless. He feels like the enemies came through and taken a shot at him. Pasture locked him up. And the people and the priests and the princes all are against him. How could he feel like he's defending himself or a defense city? How could he feel like an iron pillar or immovable? He feels like he's been moved from his calling. He feels like he's been deceived by God. He is in prison. And then the brazen walls, copper walls. The Lord said, Jeremiah, I have made thee these things. Let me ask a question to all of us this morning. How else would you know these qualities are true unless they are tried? How would Jeremiah know that God's protecting him unless he was in a place that needed protection? How else would Jeremiah know that he's immovable, unmovable like an iron pillar unless there was resistance up against him? The truth is, when God calls us as a Christian and we surrender into whatever area He wants us to move forward in, there will be times where opposition is against you, even in your daily lives. There'll be times where you will be in a position, will you be moved from what you believe? Will you backslide on God? Or will you stay immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? These things must be tried and then proven. God's word tells me this morning I can do all things through Christ. How will I know that, Brother Ceylon? unless I try to do something? How will I know that God is my strong tower? How will I know that the righteous runneth into it and are safe unless there are storms that come in my life? The truth of the matter is, then and only then. Listen, we believe God. We believe His truth. We believe His promises. But there comes a time where those qualities are tested, where the defense has to be in place, when we're challenged to be unmovable. Jeremiah, he was at that place. And you might be there this morning. You might be at a place where you feel defenseless. You might be at a place where you feel like that you've just been removed from your steadfastness. You might be at a place where you feel like the enemy has scaled a wall and gotten to you. I want to say this morning, if the Lord says and told Jeremiah, regardless if he was in prison, that he is a defense city. Regardless if he was in prison, he was an iron pillar. He was brazen walls. Regardless of his circumstantial problem, Jeremiah was being put to the test to believe what God said about him. I want to say this morning, the Lord is our helper. He's our strength. He is with us. We may be in a type of prison in life. We may be at a place of confinement. We may be in a storm. We're all going through a pandemic. But has not God proven Himself to us? The gospel is still getting out. We are still meeting in church at least one time on a Sunday. And God's church is marching on in the middle of a world that's going to pot. Huh? How else will we know? How else will we know about the defense of God unless we're there? Faith not tested is not faith at all, but it's just talk. Turn back to Jeremiah 20, if you would. Jeremiah 20. We see Jeremiah's complaint. He had a circumstantial complaint. Verse number 7, he said, "Oh Lord, thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed." In other words, Jeremiah was reflecting back on this call that was on his life. He's saying here that it was almost an irresistible call. He was drawn to it. And Jeremiah had that excuse in the beginning. I can't speak. But yet the Lord said, Jeremiah, I will be your helper. I will be your strength. He says here, "Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed." I'm in derision daily, or mocked, laughed at. Everyone mocketh me, the princes, priests, and the people. Verse number 8, "For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil," or violence and robbery, "because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." Again, that word "because" can also be "nevertheless." "Nevertheless, the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me in a derision daily." He said, "Lord, I spoke. I cried out." He said, "I cried out violence and spoil. Nevertheless, the word of the Lord was a reproach unto me in a derision daily." So we see Jeremiah's complaint. Number 2. Not only Jeremiah's complaint, but notice in verse number 9, we see Jeremiah's conclusion. In verse number 9, he says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." Jeremiah's conclusion was this: "I'm done. I'm going to stop speaking about Jesus." He says, "It has cost me way too much. Not even my own people love me. They're making fun of me. They're mocking me. I'm done, Lord." Let me ask you, individual, those watching, the things that have came into your life, has transpired in your life, are you at that place where you say, "I'm done with Jesus. I'm done speaking about his name. Are the circumstances so deep and are the circumstances so heavy that you will stop speaking about the Lord and living for Him? I want to say, if you try to live a life contrary to the life in Jesus, if you're truly saved, there is no other life. You'll find that out soon enough. You can't quit. You want to know why? There's a fire burning. There was a fire in your life and mine the moment we said yes to Jesus and accepted Him as our Savior and experienced a new birth. There was a fire that was lit. Like the pilot light in your furnace. Our first house back at Floyd Road, we lived in the parsonage. That's when I first learned how to light a furnace, how to keep that thing lit. When it blows out, you smell gas, call 911, all this kind of stuff. And the furnace was outside and in a separate room. Went out there and had to take the bottom of it off, a little plate. And I looked in there, a little bitty flame going. Totally hid from everything. But yet, we were warm on the inside. You know, at salvation, God has lit us aflame. We may go through dark times. We may go through trying times. We may experience seasons of cold spiritually. But because of the pilot that lit our pilot light, we can't quit, church. Even when things dwindle, and though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. How can I explain that I'm even still preaching since I began? There was 1,000 times that I quit. But somehow, some way, Brother Brian, the outward man, the inward man, the outward man, oh, I'm going to quit. I just can't believe they said that about me. Whew. Bill Stafford said one time, if somebody says something negative about you, just agree with them because, you know, we were all hellbound anyway and sinners until the Lord saved us. Oh, I'm about to quit. I can't believe. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this and this. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe this. I can't believe there's no fruit yet. I can't believe it feels like I'm laboring in vain. The outward man, but the inward man. The inward man says, how are you going to quit when I called you? Are you second guessing your call? I've thought about that before as well. You want to hear something really funny, weird for me? I haven't, and this is just me, this is my testimony. I haven't doubted my salvation. And I say that because God totally changed my life. I have doubted my calling. That's just me. I mean, I was a hellion, barring and drugging and clubbing. God saved me and changed my life forever. I haven't doubted that because of the drastic difference. But I have doubted my calling because there's been times where I've labored and labored and labored. Real Larry, no fruit, no results. There's been times where, I remember one time at Floyd Road when I first started, it was Young Preacher's Night on Sunday night, on every fifth Sunday night, and about five of us, and Brother Berman says, get up on here, Justin, go up here and preach. So those that know Floyd Road, it's a big building, but when I was going there, it wasn't a big building, you understand? And I remember getting up there, and listen, I mean, I have to give hours and hours of prep now because I fear what happened then could happen again. I remember opening my Bible and Jesus said, what's John 3:16? And I remember on one occasion, I closed my Bible and my whole sermon that I studied for 3 days was done in 10 minutes. How does that happen? I walked off the stage. I sat down. The next guy got up and preached heaven down. Everybody's shouting. People going to the altar. You know what I did? I got up. I walked out the back of the church. We lived next door. I went home into the shed. And I cried my eyes out. I said, God, I'm done. I embarrassed me. I embarrassed my wife. I am done. How many years ago was that? Close to 15 or so years ago, if not more, 16. Why am I still preaching? I'm still preaching because there are many times this outward man wants to give up, quit. But because of that fire, because of the nature of a call God had, not just on preachers, all of us are called. We all have a place. But because of that fire, because of the gravity of the calling, I just can't quit. It's been this long, I still feel like I can't preach a lick, but I keep trying. And I keep trying because I have a message in my heart. And maybe one day when I'm 60, 70 years old, maybe I can get it out and it makes a little bit of sense. I can't quit. You can't quit, church. The fire, listen, the fire may be down to a little flame, but that flame will always be there because that flame is a new birth. Jesus said, or at least a writer in Hebrews said, in chapter number 12, he said, our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. And so that makes perfect sense. When we're building and we're battling and it gets dark and circumstantial problems are arising and happening, there may be emotions that wonder, or like in my case, I doubted my calling because of the current situation then. But the fire was there. And so something had to be reconciled. Either I quit preaching and try to sit there on the pew with fire in my bones, or sink or swim, I'm jumping in. And church, this is honest before God. I feel like the least of the least. But please know this. Every Sunday, you're getting my best. Amen. I want to be better. I want to connect with you. I want to connect with those watching. I want there to be some fruit from my labors. I want to touch some heart. I want to help flame somebody else's fire. So Jeremiah said this. I'm done. And so within the heart of Jeremiah, he felt no good has come of this occupation. I'm ridiculed, mocked, and imprisoned. Jeremiah felt if he stopped speaking, the persecution would stop and he could blend in and work a regular job. That's really the long and short of it. Lord, I'm done. I'm going to work a regular job and let somebody else worry about it. I'm done. Let me just ask this question, and hopefully the next 10 minutes will bring it to a close. Let me ask this question. Has anyone ever felt like if I just lighten up a little and be like everyone else, life would be easier? If I just lighten up on my job, oh, come on, man, you're working too hard. Come on, young lady or woman or whoever you are, you're just lighten up. You're working too hard. You're killing yourself and getting nowhere on that job. Lighten up as a parent. Why don't you just lighten up? Come on, man, just lighten up as a parent. Don't be so strict. You don't want them to think you're not their friend. As a parent, be more of a friend to your child. You don't want them to think that you're mean. Just lighten up. Or what about the person that says, just lighten up as a believer. You don't want to have to be called or labeled a Jesus freak. Just blend in like the rest of us. Jeremiah was at this place in his life where he said, because of following God, is just there's things that are attached to it that bring great heaviness upon my mind and my heart. He says, I'm in stocks, I'm in prison. I will not make mention of his name nor speak anymore in his name. Have you ever been there before? where you just want it to lighten up. There's only one problem with that. And the problem with that is if we don't keep tight on the job, it will fall apart. If we don't keep tight in our parenting, our kids won't develop into responsible adults. If we don't fully follow Jesus, keep tight our Christian walk, souls won't be saved and we'll never know the blessedness of the abundant Christian life if we lighten up. I want to say this morning, you on your regular job, keep it tight. As a parent, keep parenting tightly. As a Christian, a believer, keep your walk with the Lord tight. All lines must be tight. Jeremiah said, I'm stopping. I'm lighting up. You see, he was speaking out of emotion during this time. I kind of want to save this for tonight, but I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you now. Because y'all been here and listening grateful. In a very good way the whole time. Number three, and I'm done. That's Jeremiah's conclusion. He will not make mention of his name. He will lighten up. He'll stop. But then we see Jeremiah's change. His change. Notice the rest of that verse in verse number 9. He says, but then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. We see Jeremiah's change. Jeremiah's conclusion changed when God's word burned within him. Listen to this. When trial and conviction meet, soon there will be a triumph. When your trial and your situation meets with conviction, Bible promises, God's word that's true to you, when those two things meet, there will soon be triumph. Our God and his word is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. It glows within. Listen to this illustration. It's kind of like a chimney. The moment that the chimney is closed off at top, smoke will fill the house, and the house will burn down from within. That tells me there must be ventilation for a fire. In Jeremiah, the Bible says, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up like a chimney. In my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. God's word needed ventilation. Needed ventilation. Try to be a Christian and be quiet. If you are truly saved, born again, try to say, I'm done with God. Try to say, I'm not going to speak of him anymore. It's going to be like a chimney that's closed off at the top. And soon you'll just burn up on the inside. God's word needs ventilation. We will either burn up or ventilate. I think a lot of Christians in our day are frankly just burned up because they are holding in what they need to be sharing. And that is Jesus saves. That is Jesus is my helper. That is, in spite of my circumstance and situation, he is my refuge. I am an iron man. You are an iron man, iron woman. Whatever the case is, it just takes being in those situations for you to realize you need ventilation. Ministers are pained if kept silent. Bitterness will kill you or burn you up if you don't forgive. People will perish in their sins lest we share Jesus. God's word in us needs to be ventilated. If not, we will burn up. Within Jeremiah's heart was the love of God. Within Jeremiah's heart was the promises of God, the call of God, the message of God. And that was bigger than his circumstance. He says, Lord, you deceive me. I thought that I was going to be ruling and reigning and not have to experience any of this. He said, my conclusion is, Lord, I'm not going to speak any more of you. But there was something on the inside that needed ventilation. Maybe you this morning need to come and ventilate. Maybe you need to come this morning, those watching, come this morning and ventilate and say, Lord, I have followed you. I know for sure that you've called me, but these present situations, circumstances, I feel like it's been in vain and no fruit. Just remember, there's a time to tear down and there's a time to build up. And the Lord has us all going through this separately in our own certain set of circumstances. Let's stand this morning to our feet. You know, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9:16. Through that verse, he says, in a nutshell, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The invitation is given. The altars are open. If you need to come, you come this morning as we sing.